Hello, great world out there. This is the politicalharmony.us podcast. I like to say the .us part redundantly. It's very good. Anyways, we're sitting here in the sunny space coast of Florida at the Center for Advanced Manufacturing and Innovative Design to talk with some of the best people on Earth. And I'm talking about Dr. Ray Garubo. I'm talking about Dr. Ted Hunt and master student Paulina Pinchiera. She has other parts of her name too, but I won't say that. Anyways, let's see. How you doing, Ray?
Good. Happy to be here as usual. I'm enjoying actually the 30-mile one-way trip each week to see you nice people. And today's a special day because we're going to call this a product demonstration. And on the phone is my consigliere, Dr. Dan Miklovich, who we interviewed several weeks ago. He's actually podcast number 4. And Greg Yarborough from Fulton, Mississippi, my last real paid doctoral student from Cal Baptist. And he has been so helpful on making all this work. And he's also an ex-Marine, and I'm an ex-Navy, so we know the same cuss words. Anyway. Right, Greg?
Yeah.
Okay. We're not going to use any. Okay. What this is when we start, Greg, you and I and Ted and Paulina are going to talk about a reenactment. The reenactment is that Ted paid for a survey in Smithville at the request and support of Paulina, a new resident. So we'll be presenting the product in our discussion that we'll start in a few minutes. Everybody good with that?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's mark this and start now. Paulina, what did you have in mind when you were so dissatisfied with what's going on at the city council in Smithville?
Well, I just moved here, so since I am a new neighbor in this neighborhood, I have a feeling about what's going on in this town. It's a lovely, lovely town and full of nice people, but I noticed that there's sometimes a sense of people from the council are arguing. They don't do things. It seems like they argue there's just politics and not so much about doing stuff for the community. Mm.
Ted, as a longtime resident of Smithville, what do you think about that?
Well, I think what Pauline is saying is very true. You know, the council argues back and forth all the time, and things don't get done around here when they need to get done. So I propose that we do some kind of a standard measurement process, a benchmarking, you know, that where we could actually measure progress and help us to better understand how to improve.
Now, Greg, you've been taking data from Paulina, is that correct?
Yes, we have.
And you have a finished Excel spreadsheet that you are ready to talk about?
Yes, we completed the survey. We went ahead and analyzed the data, pulled up the report, and presented it to Paulina and Ted. And anytime that you're ready, we can go over the results and see what we got.
Let's do it now.
Okay. Well, Paulina, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good. Ted?
Yes, I am. You know what's
important? Well, thank you so
much. What's important to me, if you don't mind, what's important to me, since I paid for this, I want to know what does the data mean and how can we use the data, the information, to make our town a better place to work and play?
Of course. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for reaching out to Political Harmony. It was a pleasure to do your survey, and we'll just kind of go from there. The survey that I set up for When I sent out the email address, I believe that we contracted for, there was 100 people that were actually, that was our target population. We actually got 24 responses, which is pretty remarkable for a survey of this size. So I'm really, really happy with the response. Also, the large response right there told me right off the bat that with that many people actually participating in the survey, that this was a very active political environment. People had things they wanted to say, and this was provided them an opportunity, a venue which they could actually voice their opinion, and they jumped on it. So that was fantastic all the way around. If you guys have your survey in front of you, there's several. Once we actually send out the product, we have 8 different fields or 8 different packages of data that are spread out for you. The very first field that we have is the original data set. And what the original data set is, it is all the questions in the Political Harmony survey. We have 31 questions that comprehensively analyze the 6 elements that Political Harmony has discovered are vital in order to have effective and efficient and equitable municipal government. And those 6 fields are communication, conflict management, ethics, knowledge, resources, and leadership. And we'll talk about those here in just a minute. The 31 questions cover all 6 of those, because what we've done is we've grouped or we've clustered those questions into 6 of those packages as it goes forward. With that being said, on your comprehensive results sheet, you've got 1 overall survey score. And in this case, Smithtown, Smithville scored a 3.04. This is based on a 0 to 5 scale. So in other words, the questions came in and people were asked on question A, B, or C, whatever it is, rate this as a 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. And the actual overall survey score was a 3.04, which means that Smithtown overall is right in the needles there. We take those 6 elements that we talked about, those six ingredients to effective, equitable, and efficient municipal government. We break those down, the survey score, into 2 larger facets or characteristics of government. One is called your relatability score. The other is called your functionality score. The relatability score are all the elements, all the questions, all the things it takes for people to get along with each other. In other words, that score tells you if your elected officials can play nice with each other. Your functionality score is if they play nice with each other or not, can they actually get things done? Mm. Your relatability score was a 2.92, which is a little bit underwater when it comes to that, and that's going to play large in the rest of the analytics that come up here. Your functionality score, can you get things done, is actually a 3.1, which is a little bit above, and that's interesting because what your respondents are saying is that even though your city council cannot necessarily get along, they still seem to manage to get the basic things done to a certain extent, rightly or wrongly. So Greg, far, so good?
Greg, can I interrupt you so far?
Yeah.
Let me review for our listeners, because this is the product that people like Ted and Paulina get when they commission us. Would you do me a favor and review the 6 dimensions, please? What are they?
Yes. So inside of the relatability and functionality score, we have the 6 ingredients to effective, efficient, and equitable municipal leadership. There's communication. How well can your civic leaders talk to each other? Mm. Conflict management. When inevitably, as human beings, they run into conflict with each other, can they actually manage it and still manage to be effective as well? Ethics. Your ethics score. Your ethics score has to do with it's actually fairly self-defining there. Is your city council actually basically ethical? The knowledge score, the knowledge is your county, your municipal officials. Do they have the knowledge? Do they have the requisite knowledge and experience that they need to actually do their job? The resource score, do your municipal employees and officials and stuff like that, do they actually have the things that they need in order to be equitable, efficient, and effective as well? And the final score is leadership. That's the final element in there, leadership. Your officials and especially your elected officials, are they actually able to have a vision for the larger community, and can they convey that in a productive way to the rest of the community as well?
Greg, let me interrupt you again. This is very helpful to our listeners. So what I'm getting is the survey covers six dimensions divided into functionality and relationality. That's
exactly.
Okay. Now, Paulina, through social media and her neighbors, were upset about how the council is functioning, and especially their image. And you said that she provided over 100 names. Is that correct?
So there were actually 100 people in the population that she provided to actually push the survey out to.
Okay.
And of those 100 people, we got 24 responses, and that's an incredibly high response rate.
Really?
For a survey this size, yes.
Paulina, what do you think about that? Is that high?
I think that's about right. I did a group in Facebook, gathering all the neighbors possible. And I talked to several of them, and they had the same sensation that I had. One of the things that comes here and shows in some sort of the survey is that people think that our council are being not very good people. Let's put it that way. So here I can see the ethics running low, and that makes sense because that really relates to what I talk to my neighbors.
Gotcha. For our listeners and who are mostly visual learners, you may want to take a moment to open up a browser and go to politicalharmony.us and look at the survey that we're talking about. And I think you can do that on any device. So we'll continue our debrief here with Greg and Ted and Paulina. But for our listeners, you may want to go to our website, politicalharmony.us, and open up the survey so you know what questions we're talking about. Okay.
Well, I got a question for Greg, and it goes back to, the kind of the interpretation of the data. In other words, it looks like these people on the city council had a 2.92 in relationality. How do they get along? So that was a little bit below average, but for some reason, they were able to get things done. But the way I feel about it is that they don't get things done when they need to be done. How can we reconcile those two things? And that's number one. And number two, if you think that, do you think that they could get things done better if they got along? And those are my two questions.
Okay. So let me deal with the second question first. Without a doubt, when people get along with each other, they seem to be more productive. That's just human nature in and of itself. And one of the things about the data that you're going to notice on our survey here is a lot of it has to go back to just straight up human nature. Yes, you're absolutely right. Your relatability score is a little bit underwater from your survey score, and quite frankly, for the national average, which is 3.0, it's underwater as well as there. And if you really want to start breaking down to one of those things, one of the things that I would, if we were being prescriptive here, as opposed to just analytical, one of the things that I would relay back to your city council was you might want to take a look at how you relate to each other, because not only is it showing up. In other words, you can't get along with each other, and other people are seeing it as well. So you might want to, if that's important to you, you might want to take a look and see how you're doing things and see if you can actually relate that, so that score will actually pop up. One of the other things that I think you might want to take a look at, and this comes with the data set, and it's one of the things that we take a look for at Political Harmony too, is that on your original data set, you're going to see all the answers that were given by all the individuals. And one of the things that I noticed when I was actually analyzing this data set is there's a lot of blank spaces for some of the questions that relate that go back directly to your relatability score, especially for your ethics, the ethics portion of that. Now, one of the things that happens a lot of times, or one of the things that I would take away from that, is if people aren't willing to answer this, either one of two things, as a general rule, when people have, when they don't necessarily want to say anything nice, sometimes they just don't say anything at all.
Right.
And sometimes, like, for instance, one of the questions is, one of the questions that had a lot of blank answers was question number 9, the elected officials are honest persons. A lot of people on there simply did not answer that question. And so that's one of the questions that if I was the city council, I might want to go back and ask myself, is there a reason, is there some way that we're coming across that people might not necessarily have a good opinion of us that way? And that's one of the reasons they may not want to answer that question. So to your second question, yes, by all means, when people get along with each other, they seem to actually be more productive. And as far as ways to actually improve that score, that's something that you as a community would need to sit down with your community leaders and try to find out what the core elements of that issue are, to see if you can't come to some sort of resolution or at least some sort of reconciliation so that you can get past that, and get to the point where everybody can at least, agree, or not necessarily agree, but can actually, play nice with each other.
Got it. Listen, it's very helpful, Greg. You did a good job in analyzing the data that Paulina generated and Ted paid for. Let's go to the two questions that all researchers have. So what and who cares? So Paulina, do you think the council knows what you and Ted are doing here in the community?
Well, I hope so. I hope so. Yeah. And I hope they are aware of this and they take action to make this place a better place.
Ted, what action do you think the council should take once they get this data?
Well, I think what you just said was vitally important. What does this mean and how does it benefit me and you as voters and taxpayers? I mean, we want things to get done around here. So I believe that what I've learned out of this is that if the council could stop fighting so much, if they could start getting along, they don't have to like each other, but stop the internal bickering over small stuff, that they can use then their knowledge, their resources, and their leadership to provide a product, and the product is services to the people of this town. That's what's important to me.
Well, another solution that I want our listeners to consider is one I've been getting for years. Why do anything? Just wait for the next election. Maybe they'll be gone.
Well, that's a good point, except that everybody that understands politics also understands that the power of incumbency is very strong.
Did you say incumbency?
Incumbency, so people who hold that office are more than likely going to be reelected.
Even with term limits?
That's pretty sparse throughout the electorate, but it does happen. But the only thing that you really find with term limits is the person who was a city councilman will change to some other elected office, like the county board of commissioners or the school board or the state legislature. It's just musical chairs. They don't leave politics. They just leave that office.
And that's the feeling of the people as well, is that it doesn't matter who you vote for. They are the same thing, different name.
And I think that's one of the most important things out of this, is that we're identifying what the problems were. We identified that ethics was a problem, and that if we look at making group and personal improvement, individual improvement of the council members, and also group improvement, that it will lead to improvement in public services.
Hopefully.
And if I can make one point for something that Ted, that you just said, and it goes to Ray's larger point too, would that be okay?
Sure.
So when we talk about the data that you've gotten here, you realize that none of this, all this has to do with the perception. So for instance, the ethics score, the conflict management score were underwater. They both there. That doesn't mean that the municipal officials are or they're unethical. It doesn't mean that they're dishonest. It doesn't mean that they're not good at conflict management. What it means that that's the perception. They've allowed whatever's happening in City Hall to get out so that the larger public believes that they are, that they allow this perception to go on. And quite frankly, the perception is worse than the actual reality sometimes.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
How they're coming across may be erroneous. It may not be.
Yes. So this goes back to, if you'll just give me a little more rope here. This goes back to your first question, Ted. What can they do to actually fix that? If they truly get along, if they get these results and they truly get along, if there's not an issue with their conflict management, they will be able to see this and sit down in private session, wherever like that, and go, okay, so what are we doing to fix this? And they can actually work together to do that. If they don't, if they get this information and it continues that way, I would say, of course, that we're not in the prescriptive business. We're in the analytical business. I would say that there's maybe a larger issue in the community because a lot, since we were talking about politics, a lot of politics is demand driven. It's not supply driven. There's a larger issue that maybe the community needs to take a look at that's manifesting itself through its political process.
Greg, that's important. Let me just pose a question to you and Paulina and Ted. Pretend you were at the city council meeting and you're presenting the mayor and the staff and the city manager with this data and this interpretation. What do you think they will say, and what do you think they will ask Paulina and Ted, who are residents of this community?
Are you asking me, or are you asking just in general?
Well, all three of you. What should they do?
Well, I think that the most important thing to do would be to make a presentation, not in a public forum, but in a private forum. Nobody wants their laundry aired in public.
Right.
However, if they do not respond, then we have to be very careful, because we don't want to weaponize this. We don't want to create it into a gotcha kind of a thing. But it's important for them to understand that we want you to change. We want better services. We perceive that you are not delivering those services. And we have data here that indicates these are the reasons why. So if they don't want to accept it in a private forum, then maybe it needs to be done in a public forum.
Public forum. And I was about to say the same thing. If they don't commit to make a change, a real change, I'll give them some time frame. If they don't comply with that time frame, then I will do just a public thing. And I think change have to be done either way.
So it's a call to action based upon this data.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's not just I feel, it's all of us together feel the same thing. So do some introspection here and figure out what's going on.
You know, one question that about that in particular is, do you get everybody in the same room, or do you go around one at a time?
Well, in the past when I've done this, I've gone individually to each one of the members of the city council, and they had enough respect that they would listen to what I had to say. And as opposed to doing it, finger pointing doesn't get you anywhere, but sitting down with data, generally they'll pay attention to that. If they don't pay attention to what you're saying to them, then there's a bigger issue.
You know, I will say that as an instructor, if ever I had a problem with somebody in my class and, like, say a parent came in, I would just show them the grade book, and then all of a sudden, they're off my back and they're on the right back. Right? They get it on the students.
Well, there's a legal issue as well. In most states, you can't get a council together, a majority, unless it's a meeting.
Oh, I see.
You can't get them together in the same room. In fact, they work very hard not to look that way. Mm-hmm. A city council meeting is not a public meeting. it's a meeting held in public.
Yeah.
And I would agree, my consulting experience as a professor and consultant is that you work individually with them. Three or more is a majority. That's a meeting. The law says you have to announce that meeting, make it public. So I think Ted's right and Paulina behind him saying, let's talk to them individually. First of all, is this score accurate? They're going to ask Paulina, we know you're upset. We know many of your friends are upset. What do you want us to do about it? I think she said, commit to change. Is that correct?
Yes.
Commit to change.
And what would that change be?
I think cosmetic, first of all.
Yeah.
First of all, what we've found at Political Harmony over the years, we've been around since 2005, most of what we find out are misunderstandings. If you listen to the previous podcasts on our website and through Spotify, I give examples, and so does Dr. Dan Milkovich, a former police officer in California, that many of our issues are misunderstandings. We're not coming across well, and that's the image problem. Again, it's not factual, it's perception. But that means everything. For ask a real estate agent, ask a school superintendent, you know, is this town any good? Well, you get that kind of look. Or great people, been here a long time. In fact, when term limits were inaugurated by many states, I was mixed about that. I think term limits are, I think, overall a productive way of getting people involved in local government. However, you lose a lot of wisdom. You lose a lot of experience for people who've been very successful.
Yeah, but as Ted said, they just go get another job somewhere else. So,
true.
You know, okay.
That's for another podcast.
That's right.
Listeners, keep listening.
Well, I've got one other thing I just wanted to mention, because I do pay attention to local city council meetings and have for a number of years, and one of the things that happens consistently is that there are a group of three or four people called gadflies who show up every time, and they complain not to but at the members of city council, and the city council shuts them off because these gadflies say the same thing over and over and over again. The difference between this and a gadfly is really significant, because this has meaning to it. This is a scientifically constructed instrument that identifies some very specific things on which the council can take action. And through benchmarking, hopefully be able to show a deliberate improvement in city services.
I can see it. It's hard to argue with data when you have data in front of it, especially if it's, preference. And it sounds like the ice cream man just showed up somewhere. especially preferences, because preferences can be accounted for. You know, you can say, oh, they think we don't like each other. I just thought I was being tough. You know, now, you know, so I think the, you know what, I realize where you guys get your name from now, Political Harmony, because you're teaching people in a way, in this particular way, how to be harmonious as politicians, and that's very rare.
Yes, thank you very much, and I want to remind our listeners that I didn't make up that phrase. I got it from history. In fact, Abraham Lincoln used it. And so
you didn't know him, though, did you?
Not personally, no.
Well, oh, okay.
We met at the play, and then that didn't go very well.
Ouch.
And Mr. Lincoln was very upset, as you can imagine.
Well.
And Barack Obama used it as well. If the listener will realize that the opening music that I selected by Luigi Boccherini is a harmonious preface.
It is.
We can have different views, but let's be nice. You don't have to be nasty.
That's right.
Anyway. All right, we're running out of time here. Paulina, will you think this might work?
Yes, of course. I think this is very helpful. This is a powerful tool for people like me without any knowledge of surveys or how to gather people together in order to make a better world. I think this is a powerful, powerful tool, and I really appreciate what you do.
Thank you. Ted, did you get your money's worth?
Well, I think the most important part is you don't have to reinvent the wheel here. It's been invented. All you got to do is use it, and it will guide you in the right direction. I think that's vitally important.
I think that's probably the most one of the best things about this is that it kind of does the work itself. Just because you're asking people, and now you have one person with the data of several, that it's, to me, that should be very, very important to any elected official, because that's how they get in office. They get voted by people. So, you know, and each one of those people has their own group of friends, and they talk with each other. So I really think that the survey, and then, you know, what it can provide in terms of information to the candidate, or not candidates, but the people who are sitting in office, that I think it stands a chance to actually move those political mountains in a way that would be very well received by the public.
Thank you. Dr. Gregg, any final comments from you, sir?
No, I just appreciate everybody taking the time. I appreciate taking a look at it and allowing us to actually explain to people that there is a vehicle out there. If you do feel like you have an issue or something like that, you do have a voice, and a voice that has weight. You just have to be able to apply it.
A voice that has weight. Good for you. Well, I want to thank everybody on this call, and I appreciate the support that you're giving Political Harmony at politicalharmony.us.
.us. So I still want to hear a little bit more about that Abraham Lincoln meeting you had. Do you remember the play?
Thank you all.
We're going to go right on our shovels right now. See you guys.